You have trouble with Ragnar and Virka too?
The flame gave a small agreement.
But not as much as I do.
Another agreement.
Because you're stronger than them.
The flame flared lightly.
Okay. Be well, my dark heart. Give my friends and eventual wives my love, please. I miss them.
The flame surged gently.
Be well.
Gregory reached out to place his right hand next to the flame. It extended a tongue of fire to gently touch him before retreating. Taking a deep breath as the hour was coming to a close, Gregory pushed himself out of meditation. Chapter 45. Coming back to himself, Gregory stretched as he stood up. Iron Hand was doing the same when a faint bell chimed the sixth hour. Sounds of movement outside the tent told them that the camp was up and moving.
Follow me, Pettit.
Yes, sir.
Thomas saluted as they left the tent.
Sir, breakfast? We'll be breaking our fast with the general.
Yes, sir.
Crossing the encampment, Gregory took in the soldiers. The camp was mostly non-magi, as the army predominated the field. The magi were easy to find with their opulent tents and guards in clan uniforms. 24 magi were in attendance, and Gregory knew a chunk of them were master tier and up from his brief view of the command tent earlier. Their path took them away from the magi and into the heart of the army, where a collection of tents sat. If not for the density of the tents, Gregory wouldn't have thought anything of them, as they were like most lower echelon officer tents. The guards near them helped set them even further apart from any other group of tents. It wasn't the center tent they were taken to either, but one to the left of it. The guard outside saluted them, pulling the flap back when they approached. Inside, Ruzi and Egil were at a table having breakfast, but two more spots were laid out and waiting.
Sit, eat, we'll talk after.
Iron Hand commanded Gregory as he took one of the seats. Egil just gave Gregory a dip of his head as he continued to eat. Gregory bowed his head back fractionally lower and longer when he took his own seat. The food was good, if simple, making it clear that Ruzi didn't have an army of cooks just for his own table. Ruzi was the first one done, and he exhaled as he refilled his cup with fresh tea.
I've been told that you've read Lighthand's journals, Pettit. Do you find it odd that my camp is set up the way it is?
Set as it is, most magi would be confused about where you are. Some of our enemies might hesitate to try pinpointing your location, unless they had eyes inside the camp. Lighthand used this same tactic when he was facing an opponent he respected. Killing the leader can throw an enemy into disarray. Minimizing that is worth any lack of comfort one might wish for.
Gregory set aside what was left of his plate, knowing that he was about to be the center of attention.
The last of his allowable journals.
Ruzi nodded.
Iron Hand has kept me updated on most of what he's had you do. I have given my entire life to the Empire, yet these magi don't care. Some of them are far older than me and should remember what was before, yet here we are, at a critical juncture of the future. Did it dishearten you to see what could be?
The infighting among the clans doesn't surprise me, sir,
Gregory answered honestly.
It's been this way since the Empire was first created. Lighthand spoke of how it would be a problem in one of his earliest journals. Clans are a threat to the common man. While they should defend and protect them, they will grow corrupt and turn on them. I can already see this in my contemporaries who lead the other two most powerful clans. Han isn't as vicious as Shun, but he is far more ambitious for power that isn't Aether. As more clans were created, it took those comments and spread the problem.
As much as he is hated now, he had many words of wisdom.
Egil sighed.
If he'd respected the Empire more, the Emperor wouldn't have gotten angry with him.
Iron Hand said stiffly.
I debate you, as what do I have to fear at this stage of my life?
Egil snorted.
But we both know it would do no good. Enough,
Ruzi said sharply.
What future is best for the Empire? That is why we are here before the day starts in earnest. For the man or the country?
Egil asked simply.
Egil, enough.
Ruzi sighed.
Let us die as legends, not as disgraced men.
Egil dipped his head in acceptance.
Sir, yes, sir.
The tone was soft, but tired of an old argument. Ruzi shook his head at his friend, but turned his attention to Iron Hand.
Tell me, There are a few paths that will work best. It comes down to how much you'd like to lay the deaths at Iverson's feet versus how many clans you want to break with your own hands, sir. Four of them have been working to see you disgraced or removed from your post. Two would have seen me die as well. I've sent my people to collect the evidence, so we can use it either way.
Ruzi turned to Gregory.
How's the taste of power as Assistant Ambassador been, Pettit?
Gregory shrugged.
I don't know, sir. I have what I want beside me there, but it isn't the power of the post that I'd hoped for. It was for my family to be with me. We'll have these years, and then our clan will separate us for the good of the Empire. In time, I hope to bring us all together again, but we both know how difficult that will be unless Aether's Guard climbs back to its old place as a great clan.
Which it is doing.
Egil chuckled, falling into a coughing fit. Ruzi grabbed Egil's shoulder as Egil caught his breath.
Easy, my friend.
Egil will die to Iverson, Gregory said softly. No matter which way you want to take the rest of this, you allow him to face a high champion. You slew one in your prime, Egil, but no matter what you do, he'll kill you. I know that, as the future doesn't shift on that at all.
Egil's lips twitched.
Oh, a challenge, then. Foresight isn't perfect, and to foil your vision would give me great joy.
Gregory's smile was sad, but he bowed his head.
It would me too, Sensei.
Do we have the long-term ramifications of me breaking the clans? I assume it would continue after my death.
Ruzi asked Ironhand.
One of them will have to be put down in 10 years' time if we deal with the clan leader. If Iverson kills them, they slowly break apart over the next 2 decades, absorbed by other clans. The second dies in a couple of years when he tries to assassinate Iverson during another raid.
Ironhand said.
Can he be convinced to fight them all?
Ruzi asked.
The hubris it would take. He must think he is Krog's son to even think of accepting.
He will fight Egil and one other, Gregory said. The other three are left to duel his friend and allies. Two are grievously injured but survive. The last dies on the field after slaying the Magi. 5 deaths for the Empire and 1 for Kroga.
There is a chance that the Grandmaster kills Iverson, but it is very slim,
Ironhand said.
If he does, he'll die under Bloodhand's care. Too much damage to be saved.
The last 6 words carried a hint of the truth. Bloodhand would make sure the Magi died, as the man would turn on Ruzi and Ironhand if he pulled through.
4 Magi and my oldest friend, and we still lose Bloodrock,
Ruzi exhaled.
It'll be marked as my greatest failure and only lost war.
But it frees you and the right Magi to quickly move to Buldoon's border and save that side of our country,
Gregory said.
The concessions from Buldoon's crown for the attacks there give us Anders, a city lost and a city gained.
Moreover,
Ironhand went on,
if we send Gregory to speak with Iverson, he can get a concession of 3 years' peace with Kroger, even if we lose. Not raids, those will happen regardless, but no mass gatherings and no wars. We'll get 3 years to gather our strength and be ready for them when they push again. The Magi will not see this as a good trade. Even with as long as they live, they still blind themselves to time in the oddest of ways.
Ruzi snorted.
Very well. We will keep Pettit's involvement in the sealed records. We will dangle him as expendable, which is why he goes to make this deal with Iverson. They accept that. Yes, sir,
Ironhand chuckled.
2 even laugh at it. 1 will openly hope, saying that he thinks Iverson will take Gregory's head at the audacity of the deal. When the Grand Master dies to Iverson later, it will be poetic in its own way. Very well. Let us go get this moving. Ruzi, I will stay behind,
Egil said.
I wish to spar with Gregory 1 last time.
Ruzi stood up, looking at Egil with sorrow on his face.
Of course, my friend. I will make sure your name is etched in history with the respect it deserves, just below mine.
The last three words held a trace of humor, but it was sad humor.
If I had only learned not to speak my mind, your name would be below mine.
Egil smiled sadly.
Alas, my mouth was always my greatest strength.
Ironhand saluted Egil.
Your determination was always your greatest strength, Magi Killer. Your mouth was second.
Ruzi laughed loudly as he started to leave.
You're right, Ironhand.
Gregory watched them go, then turned his attention to Egil.
How bad is it?
The last 2 years have robbed me of nearly everything.
Egil sighed.
My strength is fading, and my reflexes are eroding. Only my mind is still as sharp as it always was. Bloodhand says I have 2 years at most before my body just stops. I will be a shell of who I was by then. A husk that carries the name. When Ruzi called me because of this invasion, I knew this was my chance to leave my legacy as it should be. It is why I came, to find the end I always knew would claim me.
I'm sad to know you'll go back to Mortum, but happy you'll find the end you want.
The end I want.
Egil murmured, then met Gregory's eyes.
The end I want is for my legacy to be carried by you. Will you stay true to the young man I met at Jin's years ago? Or will you become like those fools that we argue with?
Gregory sat up straight, meeting Egil's eyes firmly.
I will see the Empire become what it should be. What my clan would rather it have been from the start.
Egil bowed his head.
Aether, bless this Magi to be here for your return. May you light the way back to what once was.
Gregory swallowed, as the legacy Egil spoke of was the one he was already carrying.
He will. Before my life ends, Aether will return.
Egil chuckled before coughing roughly again. Gasping a little, he finally managed to lift his head.
Come, Greg. Let us go spar one last time. Ruzi will see that my legacy makes it to your care. Right now, I just want to feel the freedom of battle with the greatest arms master to ever wield my favorite weapon.
Gregory stood when Egil did. He would honor Egil's wish for the fight, but also his wish for what would come once he declared himself as Aether. The sense of loss was already weighing on him, and he knew now what all Magi who loved knew. The feeling of a friend dying of old age. Chapter 46. After his spar with Egil, which he did without his magic to give his old mentor a chance, he'd been taken back to Ironhand's tent while Egil went to speak with Ruzi. Thomas made sure there was tea for Gregory, but otherwise left him alone. With his routine having been broken over the last few days, Gregory got back to training. Arms Master Squares, the Peaceful Fist, and meditation for resonance helped him pass the time. As evening finally came around, Ironhand returned to his tent. The pair talked for a few hours until Mindy appeared, looking exhausted. Gregory bundled her off to the partitioned cot. Cuddling her, Mindy was fast asleep, content in his arms. He dozed with her, waiting for word that a parley with Ragnar had been arranged. Fourth bell woke Gregory and Mindy from their slumber. Gregory stared into her star eyes, a soft smile on his lips.
Good morning, my heart. We didn't get to talk. Are you okay?
I am now, Mindy murmured, then kissed his chest. Bloodhand is demanding, but knowledgeable. I've caught his gaze on me at times. It's not lustful, but speculative,
she was quick to explain when Gregory held her tighter.
He might be thinking of trying to keep me.
Ironhand won't allow that,
Gregory said softly.
I pray you are right, my heart.
Petit, are you awake?
Ironhand's voice came from the front room.
We'll be out shortly, sir.
Good. Mindy, I will be sending you back to your current posting once this is settled. Your Magus posting is not to be changed, as it would break tradition, even if yours technically started a year late.
Thank you, sir, Mindy said as she got up. Is there any water to clean with, sir?
Oh, right. A minute, please.
Gregory gave Mindy a smile as he finished getting his clothing situated.
I'll bring it back to you.
Well, aren't you?
Mindy started to ask.
Skipping a day or two of bathing is normal on campaign.
Gregory gently cut her off.
As a healer, you being clean is really important.
It'd help if our patients were as clean as possible, too,
Mindy said.
The cleaner the wound, the easier it is to heal.
True, but battle isn't a clean place.
Oh, that's fair,
Mindy exhaled. Water was delivered, and Mindy was soon scrubbed enough to join them in the front room where breakfast had been provided. They ate in a slightly uncomfortable silence, as they all knew things were waiting to happen.
I'm to report back to Bloodhand, Mindy said when she finished her meal.
For today, at least,
Ironhand said.
We'll see how long it takes your husband to convince Iverson to agree to the deal we put together. Pettit, you are to do whatever it takes to make sure what we want is agreed to.
Gregory bowed in his seat.
Yes, sir.
Just be careful,
Mindy said softly.
I will be, my heart.
With a deep breath, Mindy rose to her feet.
I'll see you tonight. Maybe I won't be as exhausted since there hasn't been any fighting the last 2 days.
Hopefully most of the fighting is done, Gregory said.
If Iverson agrees,
Ironhand added.
He will. What concessions he wants is the only unknown.
Mindy kissed Gregory's cheek.
Just be safe, my heart. Our wives are waiting for us.
With that, she walked out of the tent.
You have a very forward wife, Pettit, but there's a lot of love there.
Vera blessed me, as did Aether.
Gregory chuckled. Ironhand chuckled.
I can't refute the second at all, and the first does seem accurate as well.
Sir,
Thomas called from outside.
A messenger from the general.
Send them in.
The messenger stepped into the tent, then bowed to them, her howry bearing the Ironhand clan marking.
Elder, the general says to bring Pettit to the front. He's being sent now.
Quicker than I thought,
Ironhand said as he stood up.
I'm ready, sir.
Ironhand led Gregory through the camp to the Magi made fortifications. Blood Rock sat a half mile away from there. The ground between the city and camp was a war-torn wasteland. Ruzi, Egil, and the officers and Magi from the command tent stood waiting for them.
Sir, Pettit is ready,
Ironhand said.
Pettit, you are to present our options to the High Champion. If he refuses, so be it. We will continue the war. We allow you to make small concessions to get the agreement we want in place. Killing a handful of their champions will break their morale and send them fleeing,
Ruzi said firmly.
Yes, sir,
Gregory said, bowing to the general.
Send him to the field,
Ruzi said. His gaze went to Levi, the spatial magi who'd brought Gregory from Kralkheim. A moment later, Gregory was halfway to the city. Turning to look at Bloodrock, he hoped they were prepared for him. To be certain, he checked foresight as he started walking. He closed it a second later when all futures saw him arriving safely at the gates of the city. When he approached the closed gates, the postern opened and a handful of Krogians stepped out. Gregory bowed to the one he recognized.
Champion Volgason, I'm here on behalf of the Empire.
He's been waiting, Pettit,
Donick said.
We'd ask you to hand over your weapons, but Ragnar said you have an armory on you. Besides, he trusts you and says he'd only relish the chance to fight you again.
He's right about the armory part, Gregory chuckled. I'm an ambassador and envoy, so I will abide by the rules that should hold.
Then we'll agree to hold you to it and extend the same courtesy. Follow me.
Gregory bowed again, then trailed Donick into the city. The city itself was in good shape. There were still signs of the battle to take it, but repairs were underway. The citizens that Gregory saw didn't look upset or sad. In fact, most of them seemed to just be going on with their days, until he saw a group of Yurtiks staying together as a group. When they saw his kimono, they froze in place, fear etching their features. Gregory slowed his pace behind Donick so he could turn and bow to them. When he calmly walked away, the group began to chatter, trying to understand what had just happened.
I have to say, Gregory,
Donick said, having glanced back.
You're better than your countrymen.
Not a high bar to clear in some instances,
Gregory sighed.
I'll never accept the Empire's casual slavery.
But you brought slaves with you,
Donick said, his voice flat.
They were being used as sex slaves when I took them from their owner. They were spread out amongst me and my wives and were given work as camp helpers. They're given peace, paid as they should be, and are kept from unwanted advances. It's the best I can do without breaking Imperial law,
Gregory said softly.
Even if you asked to buy them to free them, they wouldn't accept. My escort to the capital had a few of their men ask them.
Donick was quiet for a minute.
Your family is the best they can probably hope for. Will you take them back to the Empire when you leave your post?
Gregory fell silent for a few minutes before he replied.
I have to, unless they escape or are bought. If they escape, we'd be legally obligated to try bringing them back.
And they'd be given sanctuary anywhere in the city.
Which would make us stop trying to reacquire them, because we don't want a diplomatic incident. The people who helped them escape would be in a lot of trouble. They'd likely be wanted in the Empire for years.
Some would gladly do so, I think.
Very few who would have access to the runes would. I can think of one who might. His age day is coming this solstice.
One of your squires?
My squire, Basil. He's been waiting to court one of the women. She's been just as eager for his age day. It's been sweet watching them wait for the day to come. It reminds me of myself and Yuki.
I haven't had the pleasure of meeting that wife. Just Mindy and Jen. But I've heard of the others from Ragnar and Verka. I'm still in awe of your large family.
Not as much as I am every day.
Donick laughed. He had nothing he could add to that. Gregory slowed when he passed the inn that he and his men had used when in the city.
Donick, is the owner of the inn all right?
Of course,
Donick said defensively.
I don't think you did anything. I just know he was welcoming of my unit when we were here. I'm glad he's safe.
Oh, sorry. I took that wrong.
Most of my countrymen would have meant it the same way you thought. I've come to know the honor of Kroga's people. Unless he took up a weapon against you, you wouldn't harm him.
If only more of your people understood that.
The pair lapsed into silence again as they went back to traversing the city. The manor that the Magi had been in was in disrepair when they passed by. The scars of battle would take a lot of work to erase.
Did the Magi retreat to his home?
Gregory asked.
Yes, we asked for an honor duel, but he refused. When we took the gates and entered, he retreated with a contingent of his men. We finished him here. The home will need extensive cleaning and repairs.
I briefly thought Ragnar had taken it as his base.
It's a useless place to be. He's with the men where they can be inspired for our conflict. He was with the healers earlier, speaking to the wounded.
Healers? Verka and Lita are here?
Of course, them and two others. We left the others farther back to help with the rest of the war effort. It's taken a hard turn against us. Ragnar knew why when the message came asking for this meeting.
My orders were clear.
None of us fault you for that. If we had a Foresight priest, we'd likely be doing the same.
The conversation lapsed again and didn't restart even when they approached the barracks. It was clear that they were being used as the Krogian's primary base with as many people as there were around them. In just a few minutes, he'd see Ragnar again and possibly have a way to end this war. Chapter 47. The barracks were busy. Most of the warriors turned to watch Donick and Gregory as they crossed the open space between buildings. Some of the men and women saluted the pair, as they'd been in the arena during the festival and had seen Gregory fight. Gregory bowed back to them while Donick slapped his fist over his heart, neither of them slowing or stopping. Donick guided Gregory to the smallest building in the compound, where a single Huskarl stood on duty. The guard saluted them, opening the door without exchanging a word. Gregory wasn't positive, but he thought he recognized the man from the festival. He was one of the Huskarls who'd guarded the staging rooms. The building's original function was unknown, but the room had been turned into a war map. The table was set to depict Bloodrock and the surrounding lands. Gregory took it all in, nodding as he did, then shifted one of the Magi units over a single hex to better reflect their actual location.
Why?
Donick asked, a little suspicious of what Gregory had done.
Magus Tolbert is actually there, as of this morning. It doesn't help you any, and it better reflects the truth, Gregory said.
Donick, you can go,
Ragnar said, coming out of the only other room inside the building.
We both know Pettit won't attack me. What if they ordered him to?
Donick asked.
He's honorable, but he's still beholden to the Empire. Fairly asked.
Ragnar turned his attention to Gregory.
Have you come to attack me, Gregory?
I would lose, and it would be a grievous waste of resources to send me to die, Gregory replied. Plainly, no. I'm not here to attack, spar, or harm you or any of those in the city, Ragnar. As was sent ahead, I come with a proposal to end this war.
Donick, go check the men. While I trust Gregory, I don't trust the Magi out there. It's possible they sent him to keep me occupied during another attack.
Donick saluted before he left the room. Once they were alone, Ragnar advanced to shake Gregory's hand, offering him a seat.
I have no refreshments to offer.
Gregory chuckled, then produced a bottle of akavit, a pot of tea, and some jerky.
I have some with me. It's black tea.
Plain is fine,
Ragnar said as they got comfortable with drinks and food.
I was shocked when the Outer Raiders started losing so decisively. The answer to that could have only been you. When did they bring you out of Krogheim to help them?
A couple of days ago.
We started losing before that.
My orders at the embassy were to find ways to stop the Empire from losing as much. I did that, but in such a way as to mitigate as much death as possible. You still push the border all the way to Bloodrock for miles to either side of you, but it's a spear thrust, not a wave.
Ragnar exhaled.
You had your orders, and going against them would have harmed you and your family.
Yes. I did what was needed while mitigating what I could. Just like this proposition I'm bringing to you.
We won't give up what we've taken, which you know. Tell me what you bring.
Gregory glanced behind him when his resonance felt two presences of Aether spring up. He looked back at Ragnar with a knowing look.
High Champion Iverson, the Empire proposes a set of duels for the City of Bloodrock and the Lost Border still in your possession. Two separate duels for you specifically, and then three single duels for your chosen champions.
What are the stakes of the duels?
No matter which side wins, there will be no wars on the border for 5 years. Small raids will be permissible, but no massed raids.
No, 3 years only. The rest is fine.
Acceptable. We insist that all 5 duels be fought, regardless of outcomes.
I will accept that too. But what if we win them all? Or you do?
We're willing to accept a majority either way, but even if either side wins 3 early, the other 2 duels must still happen. If you win, Bloodrock is yours for 50 years with no war to take it back to our side. If you start a war, however, we're allowed to push back and take the city. If we win, you vacate the city and promise no wars on it for 50 years.
Ragnar watched Gregory. His brother was speaking diplomatically because they were being watched. His lips twitched as he decided if he could leverage this for his sister.
We demand another concession from the Empire. If we win, a Magi of my choosing will marry my sister, staying married at least until a child is born.
Gregory's eye twitched as he knew what Ragnar was doing. As a concession of the agreement, his being married to Verka would be seen as necessary, not something he wanted. It would make things easier for the family when he finally got Ragnar's approval. He gave his brother-in-law a small nod before he cleared his throat.
I will pass the addition along to General Ruzi, but I'm sure he will accept it on the condition that any second child be given to the Magi.
My sister will be unhappy to see any of her children given to the Empire. But I will agree. Before we discuss more, I grow tired of the buzzing flies here. Your Magi need to withdraw their ears or there will be no agreement.
I'm not sure what you mean,
Gregory said, but his eyes rolled.
They do. The Shadow and Wind Magi with their aether in this room,
Ragnar said flatly.
I will take this as an assassination attempt if they do not leave right now.
A few seconds passed before the presences withdrew.
Oh, that's better,
Gregory sighed.
I'm sure I'll hear about it later.
Undoubtedly, along with me demanding you marry Verka.
Because the chance of Kraga having a Foresight user is too good to pass up,
Gregory said sardonically.
That's what I will tell them, yes.
But the truth is that she'd gut you if it was anyone else.
My sister's happiness has always been the most important thing in all of my lifetimes. I'll still make you beat me in combat at some point to have my full approval. But it's clear that she'd ignore me if I tried to stop her until then.
Ragnar sighed.
Thank you, brother. I know my wives will be happy to hear that as well.
The things we do for the women in our lives.
Before we divert too far, let me tell you about the duels and who should face who, Gregory said.
That would be for the best.
Donick will be fighting Master Windash. The matchup appears to favor the Magi, but he won't be prepared for Donick to fight past a gashed gut. He'll need to be quickly taken to the healers, but if he is, Donick will survive.
Good. Donick has been my right hand on raids for years. It's time he gets more acknowledgement for his own deeds.
Erica fights Master Rockhand. They put on a display to dazzle all those who watch. Speed versus the very ground. Rockhand isn't ready for someone who can literally adapt to use his earth spikes as a foothold to keep moving. Erica will survive with numerous gouges, but none life-threatening.
Perfect. Erica has been in the shadow cast by me and Donick since the beginning. If she comes out with no life-threatening injuries, it'll propel her name higher.
The next one is the one I worry about the most out of those I can clearly see. Ava fights Master Fog, which is honestly a terrible match. The man is a water magi, but he never mastered drowning people. Instead, he uses fog to blind and kill them while he uses the water as an all-knowing sense.
She lives?
She should, but Verka and Lita both need to be ready to save her. If they falter, she dies on the field. She lives because I tell them that she dies, but Foresight isn't perfect. It'll completely exhaust Lita no matter if they save her or not.
And I fight the last two?
You should fight first, but your opponents come one after the other. Egil Magi Killer is the first duel.
I know of him. He's a man who has killed Magi, priests, gurus, and mages. He slew High Champion Leafson decades past. It will be an honor to face him.
He helped me find my skill with the Naginata again,
Gregory said softly.
I'll mourn his death, not for the Empire, but for myself. We mourn the living who no longer have the dead beside them.
A truth from ages past that still holds to this day. We'll see many we care about pass before us over our lifetime. It weighs on the soul. It's why I never married. Yet even then, the deaths of my lovers hurt.
I'm fairly certain that's why I finally gave myself over to Mortum. Vera's passing was when I knew it was time, but I still waited for my other wives before I finally stopped.
Her death broke me. I can't recall the life before Krog, but I can feel that it was the same as before. Hers always impacts me the hardest.
Cue to hate the myths the Empire has of you, too.
Ragnar snorted.
I've read that rubbish. To think that she and I were lovers is just sick. Your Emperor tarnished my family by propagating those stories. I'll make sure he knows his error before he dies.
It can be added to his long list of sins,
Gregory said softly.
The worst is still what he's done to the Yurtiks.
I won't argue that point. The servitude in my country is far better than the slavery or servitude in yours.
Brother! Verka asked loudly as she came into the room. Why didn't you tell me Greg was coming?
Because it's a sanctioned diplomatic meeting and not for you to dote on him.
Verka stared at her brother before turning a bright smile on Gregory.
I see you brought refreshments. May I sit with you?
I can only stay for a little longer, Gregory said. Your brother can tell you about the deal he's made with the Empire. I believe you'll forgive him for not telling you that I was here when you hear him.
Verka's brows went up, but she crossed the room to sit beside Gregory.
How are my friends and future wives?
Mindy's healing the officers while the others are back at the embassy. Stenson should be there to grill Rudit about Mindy's and my absence.
Aw, he means well,
Virka said.
He's done well to lead the nation during his tenure as High Priest. Why don't you tell me about this meeting?
Ragnar sighed.
And this is why I didn't tell you, Virka.
I need to be going, but after we seal the terms, Gregory said, motioning to the Akavit. Will you pour for us, Virka? One for all of us.
I shouldn't, unless I have a part to play in this plan,
Virka said as she reluctantly picked up the bottle.
You too, and I'm sure Ragnar will tell you once I leave.
Virka slowed and opened the bottle.
Interesting. Brother, should I pour for three?
Yes,
Ragnar sighed.
You'll be given leave for your heart's desire before this time next year. My full approval is still contingent on him beating me.
Virka's hand froze over one of the three small glasses on the table. Her head slowly tilted up to stare at Ragnar before she turned to look at Gregory. There was hope and joy on her face.
Marriage? Approve the marriage?
You will have a Magi husband whose first child will stay with you in Kroga. Any second child will be given to the Magi. No one will expect the Magi or you to want to stay married,
Gregory said softly.
We'll do our best, but we might need to posture in public, at least to start.
Yes, fine, Virka said breathlessly. I thought it'd be decades.
Trailing off, she quickly poured three glasses. She handed them around before she held hers out.
An agreement made.
An agreement made. And you're welcome,
Ragnar chuckled.
An agreement made. And we'll be very happy to welcome you soon, Virka,
Gregory added, pushing his glass in to touch theirs. All three downed the alcohol. Only Gregory coughed at the burn because the other two knew how to handle it. They laughed at the tears in his eyes as he caught his breath.
Alcohol and aether don't mix, but you can handle a little for ceremonies,
Ragnar grinned.
Come, brother, I'll walk you back to the gate.
Virka grabbed Gregory, kissing him chastely before letting him go.
I look forward to the wedding, my heart.
Gregory blinked at her dumbly for a moment, not having expected the kiss before he stood up.
We all do too.
Ragnar walked with Gregory through Bloodrock. The two of them side by side prompted a lot of people to stop. They'd all come to know Ragnar as the man who'd taken the city by defeating the Master Tier Magi who'd been stationed there. Seeing a Magi walking calmly with Ragnar sparked hope that the war was going to end soon.
She was happy,
Ragnar murmured,
even if she went too far in showing it.
To be fair, all of my wives-to-be have kissed me. She was just following tradition.
Oh, how many wives are you planning on?
Currently, I have five with Virka waiting for their marriages. I feel like there might be one more that I should expect in the next 10 years or so.
Ragnar's brow furrowed as he did the math.
12 wives?
All of them blessed with aether. That means they'll be with me for centuries or longer, too.
I've only met 6, not including my sister. Who are the others?
Gregory expanded his resonance slightly to make sure he was okay to say the next part.
Claudia Firetongue, former nobility of Baldoon and the current favorite of Archmage Eliminus. We have a marriage contract signed, but held in secret.
That sounds like she's in the same boat as my sister, where the marriage would be problematic if it was known.
The other three are some of my friends from the Academy. Nessa, Victoria, and Dasiana. They were a year behind us, and will be at the Academy helping with the clan and orphanage there after their adept postings.
Orphanage?
Gregory's smile softened further.
Huh. Well, that's a story all on its own.
Chapter 48. Gregory walked calmly back to the Magi camp. He had the agreement from Ragnar for the duels between the camps, as long as Ruzi approved of the additional agreement Ragnar required. Letting foresight flow for a moment, Gregory's lips twitched when he saw the answer. Just as he was about to let foresight go, he frowned. Exhaling in annoyance, he kept walking. today was going to have a problem. Levi opened a portal for Gregory to step through once he was close to the earthen walls that protected the encampment. That had him standing just outside the command tent with Levi. The guard on duty went to attack, then relaxed. Giving them a nod, he opened the tent flap for the two of them. The conversation in the tent cut off when Levi and Gregory entered, and Ruzi raised his chin slightly.
Petit, report.
General, I finished speaking with High Champion Iverson. He agreed to the duels, but he wanted two major concessions.
What are they?
Ruzi asked, his eyes narrowing slightly.
He wants to pick who fights who, but he will face Armsmaster Magi Killer and then whichever senior Magi we field in the duels.
That's agreeable,
Ruzi nodded.
What is the second?
Gregory took a deep breath.
If they win the majority of duels, he demands a Magi marry his sister. The marriage will last until she's had at least one child, which will stay with her.
Did he name this Magi?
Ruzi asked.
No, I think he wants to wait until after the duels are over. It won't matter if they lose.
What if she has more than one?
Grandmaster Frost asked.
The second child would be given to the Magi father. From his tone, unless she had twins, I wouldn't expect the marriage to last past the first child, making it a moot point.
Does his sister even have the spark of aether?
Frost asked coldly.
His sister is Virka Moha's daughter. She's a healer. She came to the honor fights a few times and healed alongside my wife.
Meaning any child with her has the chance to be aether-blessed as well. Since she doesn't have dangerous magic, I won't raise an objection.
Does anyone want to delay the duels and our victory because of this condition?
Ruzi asked. Master Argyle Zhu spoke up.
I have reservations about it. Petit, did you argue that we should choose the Magi?
He laughed.
Gregory lied smoothly, his time learning how to deal with the politics helping him.
He said we'd pick the weakest Magi among the camp. He'll pick a Magi who can father a powerful child.
Has any of us would?
Ironhand said.
General, this only matters if we lose. You've already picked the duelists, so we can agree to the concessions and arrange the duels for tomorrow. How are we to notify them of our agreement, Petit?
Ruzi asked.
Send a single man to the midway point with a yellow cloth. Someone on their side will wave a blue cloth to acknowledge that the agreement has been reached, and the duels will commence at midday tomorrow,
Gregory replied.
Ironhand, make it happen,
Ruzi said.
We will gather for the duels an hour before midday tomorrow. Dismissed!
As everyone began to file out, Gregory went too. He knew what was coming and was resigned to it. If he didn't handle it now, it would be a bigger problem tomorrow. Egil saw Gregory walk out, and his brow furrowed. The look on Gregory's face made it clear that the young Magi was unhappy. 100 feet from the command tent, Gregory came to a stop when someone called his name. He turned to see Master Argyle Zhu heading his way.
Sir, can I help you?
Yes, Petit. Follow me,
Zhu said before walking away. Gregory did as he was asked, following the Bleeding Rock clan head away from the tents. They went a fair distance to an open area that showed scars of battle. Gregory watched the older Magi with a false smile as the master turned to him.
I can see the obvious. It's known that you fought Ragnar, and you were the go-between. Your magic is what has dictated this war, and it's clear that it's too dangerous for Kroger to have. I'll give your widows my condolences.
As the earthen spears thrust upward to skewer Gregory, he was already moving. Slipping past them, his hand came up in time to slap the launched, spiked earth ball out of the way. His path had led him farther from Zhu, but the action paused there. Gregory hissed as blood dripped from his injured hand.
I hadn't thought you'd slip out of a surprise,
Zhu frowned. A maul came to his hand as he stared at Gregory.
No matter. You won't survive my next attack.
It was obvious, as is your anger,
Gregory said.
Surrender, and I'll speak on your behalf to General Ruzi.
Foolish Magus,
Zhu sneered. His magic flexed, and the ground fell out from underneath Gregory, then snapped shut.
Thank you for standing still.
A group of Magi were rushing toward Zhu. Among them were Ironhand and Frost. Zhu raised his hand to greet them when he gurgled. Looking down, he saw the blade covered in blood jutting from his chest. It had sliced through his lung and heart while blue flames licked along the edge of the weapon.
I would have spoken for you,
Gregory said softly. He twisted his weapon before yanking it free.
But you're far from the first assassin to try killing me. May Mortum welcome you home.
The others slowed when Zhu collapsed, leaving Gregory standing there unharmed. Gregory snapped the wakizashi down, then cleaned the blade before letting his ring take it away. He bowed to the throng that arrived a moment later.
Master Zhu tried to kill me, but failed. He deemed me too dangerous to live if Iverson chose me to father a child with his sister,
Gregory said calmly.
You saw him try to crush me inside the earth. How did you escape that?
Frost asked with narrowed eyes.
An enchanted item,
Gregory replied before turning his attention to Ruzi, who'd appeared with Levi.
General, I'm sorry for the disturbance.
Magi fighting each other happens, but it shouldn't happen in my camp during an active war,
Ruzi said flatly.
Iron Hand, take Pettit into custody until I can speak with him. Yes, sir,
Iron Hand said.
Pettit, come with me.
Yes, sir.
The pair went to the officer healer's tent. The moment they entered, Iron Hand called Mindy over from where she'd been helping a captain.
Pettit, come heal your husband.
Mindy glanced up, her eyes widening as she rushed to Gregory's side.
What happened?
I was attacked by Master Zhu. He got me with a spiked earth ball,
Gregory explained. Mindy's brow furrowed, but she took his hand in hers and pushed her magic into him. It wasn't bad, but it was bleeding steadily. In less than a minute, she'd healed him completely, just as Bloodhand came out of the back of the tent.
Don't strain that hand for the rest of the day.
What happened?
Bloodhand asked as he came forward.
That'll be up to General Ruzi to determine,
Ironhand said.
Pettit, come with me. Mindy, Pettit, return to your duties.
Mindy looked like she wanted to argue with him, but she bowed and returned to the captain's side. Bloodhand watched Gregory and Ironhand go before his gaze drifted to Mindy. Shaking his head, he went back to helping the major he'd been seeing. As they got to Ironhand's tent, the elder exhaled noisily.
Explain, Pettit.
He was one of the lesser accomplices tied to Frost and the others,
Gregory said.
When he heard of the concession about a Magi marrying Moa daughter, he decided that I should die. I found out when I was coming back from my talk with Iverson when I checked the future. If I didn't let him attempt it and kill him now, it would have been worse later. Because no one truly knows my capabilities yet, it was easiest to remove him now.
I see. He thought Iverson would choose you?
Yes.
It might happen. The chance at foresight magic would be a boon for Kroger. If they had someone who could see the future, it would make their raids far more dangerous to the Empire. Most find their magic influenced by their mother's line, but there are those that don't.
Are there other known foresight users, sir?
None that we've been able to confirm. Also none that are as powerful as Lightshield was, or at least not that he told us about.
So, if Ragnar did choose me to give a child to his sister, because that's what this comes down to, it would be bad for the Empire?
Ironhand looked thoughtful.
Maybe. You have a large family, with many wives before her if you're chosen. It would be easy enough to put off giving her a child for a while, at least. Your other wives could demand that they all have children first. That isn't unreasonable, even in Kroger. It would be a greater coup for the Empire if you could get her to love your family like your other wives do. Then you could bring her into the Empire. That would negate his hope for foresight children for Kroger.
Gregory looked distant for a moment.
I could do my best, sir, but I'm only in Kroger for 4 more years.
Yes, that might be a problem. If Iverson does choose you, do your best to bring her fully into your family in more than just name. Make it a point for your wives to do the same. Bind her to the Empire, Pettit. If you haven't managed it before the end of your posting, we might have to see about keeping you or one of your wives as a full ambassador in Kroger to continue working on that.
Gregory pushed foresight, not looking at Verka, but at his wives and if any of them stayed in Kroger when their posting ended. What he found was all of them leaving the embassy together, so he let foresight lapse.
We'll do our best, sir. My few interactions with her show her to be devoted to her country and family. I'm not sure how she'll react to her brother's plan of marrying her off to a Magi. They might not survive the wedding. Not all healers are pacifists like Mindy.
I'm aware. Bloodhound is with the army for multiple reasons. We do what we can to save the Empire from threats, both external and internal, Pettit.
Yes, sir.
The chime of the bell announced the hour, and Ironhand stood up.
We're having dinner with Rusey. You'll explain what the conversation was like with Iverson after the Watchers left. Then you'll have to explain why Zhu attacked you and why you killed him.
Yes, sir. You heard me ask him to surrender, didn't you?
Gregory asked, standing as well.
I might have been one of the few who did. His attempt to crush you was clear to everyone. What I didn't expect was your ruthless and decisive action in return.
Well, he isn't the first Magi to try killing me, sir.
The first was in the novice tournament in the academy. And then more over your novice and apprentice years.
Yes, sir.
The multiple attempts during your adept posting were highly concerning, as was the incident at the embassy. You seem to make dedicated enemies, Pettit.
I believe you're right, sir.
Let's go, Pettit.
Yes, sir.
Chapter 49. After dinner, Gregory explained what had happened, and in the end, Rusey had to agree with that assessment. Egil and Ironhand both pointed out that Gregory would only have taken the wound if he'd wanted to, prompting him to explain in more detail why he'd done everything he had during the attempted assassination. It was later that evening, when Mindy returned to the tent, tired but not exhausted, that Gregory explained it to her. Before he did, she'd checked him again, and then they'd cuddled on the cot. In the softest tones they could use, Gregory started to explain what had happened.
Zhu was sure Ragnar wanted my foresight. While he was sure the Magi would win the duels, he didn't want to risk a loss and Kraga getting foresight.
So he wasn't trying because of the Eternal Flame or Baldoon?
Mindy asked back in the same whispered tone Gregory had used.
No, though removing me so his allies could try to kill or discredit Rusey was a factor. My foresight has taken a terrible war and mitigated it to a loss, but not the worst loss the Empire has ever had.
Why did you get injured? I know you had to let it happen.
Perception. Yuki's taught me that the way something looks might have more impact than the truth. Our time in the embassy taught me to weigh politics into things even more than I had before.
The wound was to sway people?
I could have killed him unharmed, but if I'm wounded, then I could have died. Maybe it was mostly luck that helped me defeat a master Magi. The fight was only that brief because Ironhand would have stopped it if he'd arrived before the end. Zhu would have had time to set up a far deadlier trap for me if that happened. I would have survived that, but it would give even more away about what I can do. Many of the Magi doubt my foresight, and I'm trying to keep it that way.
No one questioned you escaping the Earth?
I told Rusey why, and it'll leak to the others. An enchanted ring that just happened to be one of the few things that could have helped me is acceptable. I'll have to hand the ring over to an enchanter tomorrow for them to examine it, but it'll prove my story true.
Goodness. I thought we'd at least be safe in our own camp.
We're only safe with family, Gregory sighed. Some friends, too, perhaps, but not many.
Mindy shivered.
Hold me all night, please, my heart. To think you were attacked by the Empire even after you went in return from a Krogian city.
Gregory wrapped her in his arms even more, then kissed the back of one of her fox ears.
As my heart wishes.
Mindy's breath caught, and she squirmed.
Dearest, if I stay as quiet as I can...
Gregory knew what Mindy wanted, and he put his hand over her mouth gently. Kissing her ear again, he let his hand slip from her mouth down her waist.
We don't want to disturb the Elder, my dear healer, so be quiet.
Mindy's eyelids fluttered. She was being bad, terrible even, but her body burned with need as desire fanned her lust. Gregory was willing to give her her desires, and that caused her love of him to grow more. He'd never once told her no, even when she put them at odds with society. His willingness to give and give to her and the others is why they'd always do everything they could for him. Gregory woke in a far softer bed than he'd gone to sleep in. Rolling over, he sat up, giving his Aether wife a bright smile.
Oh, darkness. How are you, my heart?
Good, my soul. The world has seen a lot of movement recently. I have kept track of your wives. Dasiana earned a scar that is prominent during her clashes. I am already reassuring her that you will not find it unattractive.
I'll gently trace and kiss it. I'm just glad she survived this war.
Nessa is doing her best to mitigate the incursion on the Buldoon border. The two adepts near her area were quick to throw in with her. Neither is from a powerful clan, nor skilled in Empire's Gambit, so they have deferred to her wisdom. With the general taking this plan and readying to move to that front, she will be fine. He will laud her for her efforts. She has mitigated the worst of it and made it easy for the army to retake and push farther into Buldoon in return.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Nessa's handling the stress all right.
She will be with her lovers again after this year. They will help her the same way Vicky and she will help Dasiana. Claudia is busy. It seems the Prince of Buldoon has had schemes in place for years that are just starting to bear fruit. She has gotten the edge of his plans and is tugging on them. She has had to survive yet another assassination attempt in return. When it comes to light that you were targeted as well, it will drag even more into the open. Alaminus will be gutting the Black Cats over these attempts, especially with the debacle they caused with their attempt on you.
I'm glad she's okay. Please give her my love. I know she'll be the one who waits the longest to marry me. At least now that Verka's path has been paved by Ragnar.
I will, my soul. Your wives at the embassy are safe, and I am informing them about what is transpiring, so you will not need to worry about it. Yuki accepts the plan, and they are all ready to welcome Verka into the family properly.
Exhaling in relief, Gregory was glad for that. Mindy had taken it well when they'd shared whispered words before bed, but he'd worried a little about the others.
How's Victoria?
Having just as troubling a time as her friends. Shipping has been a disaster this year. Buldoon's and the Empire's ships have not had any trouble, but no Lamazian or Krogian ships have made port at all. It is causing a major stir, as many trade deals are failing and tensions are rising between the cities along the coast.
I see.
Gregory looked pensive for a moment before he smiled.
I talked to you in my cavern, didn't I?
Yes, but not like I wish I could. But for now, let me bring a couple of people here.
The bed shifted, and Mindy appeared on Gregory's right. To his left, the bed moved more when Verka appeared. Both of them were as naked as he was, getting Gregory a much closer eye full of Verka in a far more intimate setting than previously.
Oh, Aether. Did my death hurt you so much?
Verka whispered.
It did. He modeled me after your previous body, Darkness whispered. His love and desire for you is as deep a part of me as my love and desire for him is. Your death started his desire to be reborn, to do better than he did then.
You look like her?
Mindy asked breathlessly.
Oh, goodness.
All that matters is now, not then,
Gregory said softly.
I don't know what I thought back then, but I know how I feel now.
It would explain why you locked your memories away, Verka said. I'll leave it be. But, Greg, I'm sorry for what came before. I love the family you're building around you. My brother is precious, and I did thank him for what he arranged for us. To allow us to marry before you leave, Kroka? Oh, I'm sure trouble will come of it, but Yuki will find ways around it for the family.
Yuki always does what's best for us.
Gregory smiled when he thought of his precious cyan-eyed wife.
Darkness, can we get our touches in before we have to go?
Mindy asked, changing the topic.
Of course, but nothing more than that. Not today, at least. Though you already got your desires tonight, did you not?
Mindy's face blazed, but she giggled happily, nodding rapidly.
What?
Verka asked with a smirk.
I'll tell you later, Gregory chuckled. Kisses with our dark heart before we go. Verka, be prepared for a surge of aether.
Yes, that makes sense, Verka murmured, finally pulling her eyes from the red-faced fox Yurtik. Shall I go first, then?
Yes, Darkness said. Standing up, she crossed to them on the edge of the bed. Brief touches only. You can have a second or two longer.